ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We've reached that day we've all been anticipating. Today we're starting first verse, the first chapter of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We went through the feet, the thighs, not the thighs, the calves, the knees, the thighs, the waist, chest. Finally we reached the smiling face of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Krishna's smiling face, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sri Raja Uvacha Katito Bamsa Bistaro Bhavata Soma Surayo Ragyam Chobaya Bamsyanam Charitam Paramadbhutam Sri Raja Vacha Katito Bamsa Vistaro Bhavata Somasurayo Ragyam Chobaya Bamsyanam Charitam Paramadbhutam Sri Raja Uvacha King Parikshit said, Katitaha has already been described. Bamsa Vistara, a broad description of the dynasties. Bhavata, by your lordship. Somasurayo, of the moon god and the sun god. Suryayo. Ragyam of the kings, cha, and ubaya, both, bamsyanam of the members of the dynasties, charitam, the character, parama, adbhutam, and wonderful. King Parikshit said, My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings. Translation, please repeat. King Parikshit said, My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. At the end of the 9th canto, 24th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami summarized the activities of Krishna. He spoke how Krishna had personally appeared to reduce the burden on the earth, how he had manifested his pastimes as a householder, and how soon after birth he had transferred himself to his Brajabhumi Leela. Parikshit Maharaj, being naturally a devotee of Krishna, wanted to hear more about Lord Krishna. Therefore, to encourage Sukadeva Goswami to continue speaking about Krishna and give further details, he thanks Sukadeva Goswami for having described the activities of Krishna in brief. So Parikshit Maharaj was very anxious, just like all of us were very anxious to hear this 10th canto, because Sukadeva has described them in brief at the end of the 9th canto. So now Parikshit Maharaj is very enthusiastic. Please describe them in more detail. Sukadeva Goswami had said at the end of the 9th canto, Jatukata Pitrigrihad Brajanam Editarato Hatwa Ripun Sutta Satani Kritor Udara Utpadyatesu Purusha Kratubi Sam Mije Atmanam Atma Niganam Pratya Janeshu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, known as Leela Purushottam, appeared as the son of Vasudev, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationships with the confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons, and afterwards he returned to Dwarka, where according to Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons, and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of householder life. 9.24.66. The Yadu dynasty belonged to the family descending from Soma, the moon god. Although the planetary systems are so arranged that the sun comes first before the moon, Parikshit Maharaj gave more respect to the dynasty of the moon god, the Somavams, because in the Yadava dynasty descending from the moon, Krishna had appeared. There are two different Kshatriya families of the royal order, one descending from the moon planet and the other descending from the king of the sun. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he generally appears in a Kshatriya family because he comes to establish religious principles and the life of righteousness. According to Vedic symptoms, the Kshatriya family is a protector of the human race. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ramachandra, he appeared in the Suryavams, the family descending from the sun god. And when he appeared as Lord Krishna, he did so in the Yadu dynasty, or the Yaduvams, whose descent was from the moon god. In the 9th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a long list of the kings of the Yaduvams. All the kings in both the Somavams and Suryavams were great and powerful, and Maharaj Pariksit praised them highly. Ragyam Chobaya Bhamsyanam Charitam Paramadbhutam. Nonetheless, he wanted to hear more about the Somavams because that was the dynasty in which Krishna had appeared. So Prabhupada explains here there's two Kshatriya families. Kshatriya means they're the protectors of human society. So there's mainly two main families, those one sending Suryabhams descending from the sun, just like all the kings of Jaipur, they're descending from the Suryabhams. If you go to Jaipur temple in Barsana, and when you're leaving the temple, you look up and you see above the door there's a stained glass image of Surya Bhagwan. Very beautiful, because all these kings are coming from Suryabhams, and Lord Ramachandra also appeared in Suryabhams. But Krishna was pleased to appear in the Yaduvams, which descends from Soma. It's called the Somavams, coming from the moon. So by general, Prabhupada explains, by general calculation, we consider the sun more important than the moon. But still, because Krishna appeared in the Somavams, that Somavams has become very blessed. This is Krishna's pastime, appearing in the Somavams. Therefore, Maharaj Pariksit was very anxious to hear more about the Somavans pastimes of Krishna. The supreme abode of Krishna is described in Brahma Samhita as the abode of Chintamani. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa riksha lakshavrsetu surabira vipali antam. The Vrindavan Dham on this earth is a replica of that same abode. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8:20, in the spiritual sky there is another eternal nature transcendental to the manifested and unmanifested matter. The manifested world can be seen in the form of many stars and planets, such as the sun and moon, but beyond this is the unmanifested, which is imperceptible to those who are embodied. And beyond this unmanifested matter in this is the spiritual kingdom, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as supreme and eternal. That kingdom is neither annihilated, never annihilated. Although material nature is subject to repeated creation and annihilation, that spiritual nature remains as it is eternally. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that spiritual nature, the spiritual world, is described as Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, or Braja Dham. The elaborate description of the above-mentioned sloka from 9th canto, Jatakata Pitri Grihad, will be found here in the 10th canto. So all of us are aware of this gross material existence, which goes through a cycle of creation and annihilation. But the spiritual world is never annihilated. But to those of us who are embodied in this with this material body, we're unable to perceive that spiritual nature. So Krishna manifests like an embassy, this Vrindavan Dham, which we're so mercifully staying, where we're so mercifully staying, this is Krishna's embassy. Just like in this material world, the embassy of another country is considered to be the same, as good as the soil of that country. If I break a law in India and I run into the American embassy, the police cannot chase me, because that is considered American. They'll have to extradite me to get a hold of me. It's considered American soil. So same way, this may appear to be in this material world, this Braja Dham, but it is part of the spiritual world, and that spiritual world is never annihilated at any time. It's eternally manifested, and now Krishna descends to display the wonderful activities of that spiritual world. So we're going to start hearing those wonderful pastimes of this in this material world is known as Vrindavan or Braja Dham, because generally we say Vrindavan, but that's because Vrindavan are the 12 forests, main forests. The 12 main forests of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the main one. But the whole 12 forests together is called Braja Dham, but since Vrindavan represents the most important of all those, therefore sometimes this Braja Dham is referred to as Vrindavan. So now we're going to begin this wonderful chapter, wonderful canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing all about Krishna's wonderful activities that he manifests, that are eternally manifest and eternally going on. Because Krishna's pastimes is just like the sun. Now we see the sun rising here. Somewhere else they see it setting, and after some time they'll see the sun rising. Then a little further on someone will see the sun rising. In this way, the sun is always rising somewhere. So Krishna's pastimes are going on, and as soon as they finish in one universe, one pastime, that pastime immediately manifests in another universe. They're eternally going on. So now we're going to begin this canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing about all those wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what we've all been waiting for. 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. So today is also the disappearance day of Srila Lokanath Goswami. So we'll speak a few words about him. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale
Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandiyam Adadanastrinandantayvritam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Banjakalpa Trubhyastha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
So we can't imagine the magnitude of the contribution of Lokanath Goswami to this Brajadham. Because practically everything was lost. For centuries before the appearance of Sriman Mahaprabhu, the Mughal invaders had come in and just destroyed everything. Grouse, in his Mathura memoirs, he described that in Mathura there was a huge temple at the birthplace of Lord Krishna. And doing his research, he found that there was one emperor named Ghazni, Muhammad Ghazni, who came here and seeing this huge temple, even he wrote in his book that it appeared to have been taken at least 200 years to construct this temple, and it must have been a cost of 500 million gold coins. Just imagine 500 million gold coins. And this fool, he destroyed it. He raised it to the ground. And after him, so many Mughals came. Whatever the temple they found, they destroyed. This guy, there was another character named Lodi. He attacked Mathura specifically just to destroy the temples. He robbed the deities and gave them to butchers to use as weights to measure meat. This was the atrocities that were visited upon this wonderful Brajadham. Therefore, by the time Mahaprabhu appeared, all the temples were gone. It was just a forest, only tribal people. No one lived here. Everyone was afraid. Just tribal people and wild animals and jungle, and nothing was here. One of the reasons for the appearance of Mahaprabhu, we know the main reason was to spread this Naam Sankirtan as the Yuga Dharma. But just like Prabhupada said, that spreading this Yuga Dharma was 50%, other 50%, and now we're seeing in these unprecedented days of coronavirus, the finally it's being thrust on in front of our face, the importance of establishing farm communities where we can raise our own food and be self-sufficient, not be sufficient. It's dependent on this artificial society that's been created by the demons. So Mahaprabhu also had 50%. He had one vow that he would reveal Vrindavan back. He would restore Vrindavan back before the eyes of the world and find all the lost places of Krishna's pastimes. This was always on his mind. So at that time there was one. He had been a classmate of Mahaprabhu, Lokanath Goswami. And he decided, he was been a classmate, and he had even at that time surrendered his life at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. He finally renounced his family life and everything and left Bangladesh and came to Navadvip to surrender to the lotus feet of Sriman Mahaprabhu and relish with him transcendental bliss, discussing Krishna Katha. Because he knew that Mahaprabhu was a fountain of bhakti. He was re-establishing bhakti as the main purpose of life. So when he appeared, Mahaprabhu gave up his grave mood and became very, very ecstatic. He immediately stood up, and Lokanath had paid his obeisance, but Mahaprabhu lifted him up and pulled him to his breast and gave him a very warm embrace.
and said, I am so much happy that you have come. I've been waiting for you. And he just embraced him like anything. And then they started a big kirtan. And that kirtan went on for hours and hours. Finally, he said, you must be tired. You've traveled for a long distance. He told the devotees to arrange a place for Lokanath to stay. And he informed Lokanath, you come tomorrow. I have very important duty that will be very pleasing to Lord Krishna for you to perform. So we can imagine he must have hardly slept that night, wondering what a bomb to drop on someone's head. I have very special duty for you to please Lord Krishna. It will please my heart like anything. So he couldn't wait till the next morning. Next morning he came before Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu again embraced him. And he sat down and he said, listen, the pastime places of Lord Krishna and Vrindavan are completely lost. This is the most holy tirth for all of the Vaishnavas, where Krishna's holy pastime took place, and they've all been lost. All the temples are gone. Nobody remembers even where the pastime places are. So I want you to go to Vrindavan and rediscover and develop and build temples and rediscover all of those holy places. Lokanath Swami was shocked. What is this? I've renounced everything to come here and be with you, and you're sending me away immediately. What offense have I done? He said, no offense. I'm giving you the most wonderful service. This is something so dear to my heart. You can't imagine how dear it is to my heart. Don't cheat me like this. I've come here to dedicate my life and soul to your lotus feet. How can you push me away like this? You're cheating me. He said, no, you don't understand. If you actually want to please me, you will take up this duty. Because this is a duty very, very dear to my heart. So, Lokanath Goswami acquiesced to his petition. Still, he spent 5 days with Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. Before, on the sixth day, he left with a heavy heart. He left for Vrindavan along with his very dear friend, Bhugarbha Goswami. So Lokanath, he originally appeared in a small village near Jessore, as we were talking the other day about Sanatan Goswami, also appeared just near Jessore, so he called Kalakandi. Kalakakandi. And his father was Padmanabh Chakravarti, and his mother was Sita Devi. And his father was a disciple of Advaitacharya, because at that time Nadia was a seat of Vaishnava learning. So his father had studied from Advaitacharya. So when Lokanath became of age, he sent him to Advaitacharya to learn. And he had appeared, there's no definite date, but 2 or 3 years before the appearance of Sriman Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was studying in the school of Gangadas Pandit. So they were practically classmates. And that was the first time he met Nimai. And immediately he was very attracted to Nimai. And they became very good class fellows, although he was in Gangadas' school and he was in Advaitacharya's school. After finishing his learning, he went back to Kalakakandi and also opened up his own school there and prosecuted his family life. But he kept remembering Nimai, and anybody traveling from Nadia would speak about the glories of Lord Chaitanya, how he's gone to Gaya and come back and completely changed. He's given up before. He is known as huge scholar and nobody could defeat him in debate. He would challenge someone, he would establish one point and people would try to defeat it. He would defeat all of their arguments. Then he would turn around and defeat his own arguments and disestablish his point. He was a great logician like this.
But now he was imbued with Krishna Bhakti, so Lokanath was very anxious to join with him. So renounced all of his family life business and everything, and went off to Nadia. And as we just described, Mahaprabhu gave him this duty. When he was discussing with Lokanath to go to Vrindavan and trying to convince him, then Lokanath's very dear friend, but is also his class fellow, was Bhugarbha Goswami. So Bhugarbha Goswami presented to Lord Chaitanya that if you desire, I will also go with him and keep him company since we're good friends. Mahaprabhu said, that's wonderful. You please go with him. So Bhugarbha and Lokanath, they started off for Vrindavan. The journey took them 3 months because it was dangerous to go by the straight road, so they went by all the back roads and took very long time. Sometimes they weren't able to find anything to eat. But since they were great friends in Krishna consciousness, they relished Krishna Katha the whole way. They didn't notice that even it took 3 months for the journey to finish. They didn't notice that sometimes, some days they couldn't find, because they were just begging food along the way. Sometimes they didn't get anything to eat. They didn't even notice. They were so absorbed in their Hari Katha with each other, they didn't even notice their difficulties in reaching Vrindavan. So after reaching Vrindavan, they found that nothing is here and hardly anybody is there who remembers where all the holy places were. So it was a very difficult time. It was nothing but jungle. There was no paths. They had to make their own paths. There was wild animals wandering in the forest. Only tribal people who were there who were not interested in Krishna consciousness, only interested in hunting and a little bit of agriculture. With great difficulty, they began to research and doing very wander from forest to forest doing research and noting down whatever they managed to discover. And Narayan Bhatta Goswami has noted in his Braja Bhakti Vilas that Lokanath and Bhugarbha, they managed, amongst other things, 333 different forests they discovered in Vrindavan, along with so many kuns and sarovars and so many things. Made the basis of his Braja Bhakti Vilas. So gradually Mahaprabhu sent Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatt, so many, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, so many came and they were told to connect up with Lokanath Goswami. So they connected with Lokanath Goswami. Then the work was shared by all of them. At one point, Lokanath Goswami was staying in the forest, in one forest called Kadiravan. When you're going to Barsana, you turn off the road at Chhatta, off the Delhi highway, and then you go on the road to Barsana. And after crossing the railroad tracks, you come to one village. Then the next, second village, you cross over the railroad track, you come to one village, and the second village after that is Kadiravan, where Bakasura was killed. And near Kadiravan, there's a very beautiful lake called Kishori Kund in a place called Umarao. And Lokanath, he was having a lot of difficulty. He and Bhugarbha, very difficult time. They stayed there at that place. In fact, there's a very beautiful bhajan kutir there of Lokanath Goswami. There was a sadhu, Madan Mohan Baba, who was lived for over 100 years and stayed there doing bhajan in Lokanath Swami's place. And it's such a deserted place, just to understand how renounced was Lokanath Goswami, that even now no Prikama parties ever go there. Even our Prikama party, Brajmanda Prikama, doesn't go to that place, only because they're coming on the way to, they reach Nandagam by the time it's Prabhupada's disappearance day. So to return for Prabhupada's disappearance day, they stop on the way by bus even. Nobody goes to such a simple, renounced place. But he had his bhajan kutir there. And he was always anxious to serve the Lord. He had this great desire to serve the Lord. So one day he was sitting and doing his bhajan, meditating on how nice it would be to serve the actual form of the Lord, when suddenly one tribal fellow came there. Because actually, Radha Vinod was staying in the bottom of Kishorikun. But he'd been lost for hundreds of years, nobody knew. When Lokanath Goswami came with his desire to serve the Lord's desire to be served by Lokanath Goswami manifested. So then, the Lord took the form of a tribal. Some tribal man with different funny cloth on and funny shells and things hanging on his neck. And he appeared before Lokanath Goswami in his bhajan. And told him, Baba, now I'm very old. I cannot serve my Thakurji Radha Vinod very well. You please take care of him for me. Because now I'm old, I'm about to die. I want you to take care of my Thakurji. And he presented that Thakurji to Lokanath. Lokanath was overjoyed. And he was examining the beauty. As examining the beauty, he suddenly realized that that fellow who had brought him had disappeared. And he began looking here and there. And Radha Vinod smiled. And said, who else do you think could bring me here? I myself have brought myself. And he smiled mischievously at Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami was overjoyed to have a deity form. And then Radha Vinod informed him, I've been staying in the kun for many years, so now you feed me, I'm very hungry. So immediately he ran and started cooking, got whatever simple things he could get in that forest, and began to cook. And he didn't have any place to keep the deity, so he got a nice cloth bag. He had the villagers make him a cloth bag. He used to carry the deity in the bag. And they would wander around and he would do the service. Along with his research, he would do the service of Radha Vinod. But now the service became easy because Radha Vinod would point to all the holy places where he did his pastimes. So it became very easy. So eventually, Rupa Sanatan and Jiva Goswami and everyone appeared in Vrindavan. So Lokanath was becoming very old. He turned over all his research work. And then the real development began from Rupa and Sanatan and the other Goswamis. So he established a couple of little huts just behind where now the Radha Gokulananda temple is. It was on the bank of the Jamuna there. In one hut he was the temple room, the other hut was his cooking room. And there he dedicated himself to simply serving Radha Vinod. Now he was free from, due to his age, he was free from wandering here and there. He could just devote himself, and with great ecstasy, with great love and affection, he served Radha Vinod. One day he decorated Radha Vinod so sweetly. And he was just there absorbed in meditation on the beautiful form of Radha Vinod. In the other hut, there was one devotee who used to assist him in cooking, was waiting when the Sringar Seva will be finished and when Lokanath going to come and cook. But he was so absorbed in seeing the beauty of Radha Vinod, he was just sitting there lost in trance. So that devotee, he got up to go and call Lokanath. Suddenly Lokanath appeared at the door of the kitchen and began to cook. And they cooked so many wonderful things for the Lord. At one point, that devotee, he left the kitchen, he went out to the temple hut, and he saw that Lokanath was sitting in the temple hut and completely in trance. And then he began to wonder, who was there cooking in the kitchen? And he went back to the kitchen, and Lokanath was there. He went back to the temple, Lokanath was there. Then he didn't realize his fortune. The Lord Himself, He didn't want Lokanath to be disturbed from his bhajan, from his trance. So Lord Himself cooked for Himself. And then that devotee ran to Lokanath and brought him out of his trance and explained to him what happened. And he looked at his deity of Radha Vinod, who smiled very sheepishly. And Lokanath chastised him, "You rascal, don't do like this." So eventually, because Mahaprabhu, when he had told one of his other instructions, when he sent Lokanath to Vrindavan, he said, eventually my great devotee Narottam will appear and you please give initiation to him. Because Lokanath Swami had taken a vow that he would never initiate anyone. He didn't feel himself qualified. He didn't want to initiate anyone. So he had taken this vow. But Mahaprabhu had told him that he would initiate Narottam. So eventually Narottam made his way to Vrindavan and he immediately joined Samananda and Srinivas in Jiva Goswami's school, and he became a very great student of Jiva Goswami. And every day he would go to visit Lokanath Goswami. But Lokanath Goswami was so humble, he'd accepted him within his heart as guru, so he has to do service, but Lokanath wouldn't let him do any service for him. So he was frustrated and he refused to initiate him. So even Jiva Goswami and other Goswamis, they went to Lokanath and said, Mahaprabhu gave you order. And this is not ordinary disciple. He's the son of Raja, he's the only son of Raja King Krishna Chandra. He has great influence and power. If he begins to preach, so many people will be delivered. You must initiate him. And Lokanath Goswami says, no, I've taken my vow. I'm not going to initiate anyone. But Narottam was determined. And he tried to think, what service can I do? So he began from a distance to watch Lokanath Goswami's different activities. So he'd stay at a distance, and he would keep people from coming to disturb the bhajan. He'd keep wild animals from coming. He would wander around the forest, all around, stopping people from and animals and other things from disturbing the bhajan of his guru, Lokanath Goswami. Then he thought, I must do some very nice service. So then he noticed, because he was watching day and night, that every morning he'd go to a certain place in the forest to relieve himself, to answer the nature's call. So Narottam got a broom and a bucket, and every day he would hide. And after Lokanath Goswami came, he would go with his bucket and wash the place and clean everything away, take away the stool and clean everything. In fact, he began that even earlier in the morning than Lokanath Swami going there, he would leave a little clay pot with clean water. He would leave some earth for him to wash his hands. Because in Braj, this is our soap, dirt. We just take the Braj and we wash our hands. Wash the pots, it cleans everything. Cuts the grease, cleans everything sparkling clean and environmentally friendly and dirt cheap. So he'd leave some fresh dirt for Lokanath. So even from the first day, Lokanath noticed that the place was clean, and after a while there's some earth waiting there for him. But he was so absorbed in his bhajan, he didn't pay any attention to it. He thought maybe some tribal, he sees that I'm an old man, he's doing this service for me. Finally, after this had been going on for a year, he was just absorbed in his bhajan and didn't think about it. But after a year, he began to complete, how is this going on for 1 year? So then he got up earlier than usual and hid. And sure enough, here came Narottam with his water pot and fresh earth. And Lokanath Goswami, it was dark, he couldn't see. He said, who are you? And Narottam stood up and remained silent. And Lokanath came closer. He said, who are you? Tell me. He said, I'm Narottam. Narottam? What are you doing? You're the son of a king. How can you take up the duty of a sweeper? This is abominable. How can you do this? He said, I've accepted you as my guru. You won't let me do service. It's the only service I can find. So then Lokanath Goswami said, all right, come. And he sat him down and began to train him in bhajan, and train him in his secret identity. Just now I slipped my mind. Something Manjari. Trained him anyway at everything. And one day, because of those days, like I said, there was no temple, there was hardly anybody living in Vrindavan, there was no Hira jewelers, no Gopal Das Ramnivas for to go and make nice thrones and crowns and flutes and things for the deities. So, Lokanath Goswami, he was just absorbed in his bhajan. And in his bhajan, in his Leela Manjari. So then in his bhajan, he would create beautiful crowns and beautiful thrones and beautiful cloth to make the deities. So many things. It is all going on in his mind, in his meditation. One day he made a beautiful umbrella, built a beautifully decorated jeweled umbrella to go over Radha Binod. Then he made this beautiful crown, but the crown was too big to put it underneath the umbrella. So Narottam leaned over with his finger. He lifted the umbrella so that his guru could put the crown. And Lokanath looked at him, because he was doing this all in meditation. There was no umbrella, there was no crown. But Narottam reached over and lifted up the crown so that he could put this big crown, lifted up the umbrella so that he could put the crown. And Lokanath just looked at his disciple and he said, "All right, today is Shravan Purnima, which is coming in a couple of weeks. You go to the Jamuna, you take your bath, you come, you have defeated me, now I will initiate you." And he initiated him. And we cannot imagine the joy of Narottam Das Thakur. One other thing we forgot to mention is that we don't find hardly any mention of Lokanath Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's because he was so humble, he refused to accept disciple, and he also refused to have his name mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So practically only the mention is there, but no activities or no leelas, none of anything else. A lot of everything we get from Bhakti Ratnakar and other books. But since Krishnadas Kaviraj does mention Lokanath Goswami as one of the branches, we can understand that Krishnadas Kaviraj must have gotten a lot of information. Lokanath Goswami originally was a schoolmate of Mahaprabhu. So, Jiva Goswami also had a big worry bothering on his brain that they were writing all of these books systemizing the Gaudiya philosophy, but it was all here in Vrindavan, and in East and Bengal nobody knew all the codification of the philosophy. So he said, somehow we have to get these books there to Bengal so people can understand the great philosophy, the deep philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and not speculate and make so many speculations, which is what happened anyway. So he had Shyamananda and Srinivas, but he thought, since Narottam had great influence in Ketarigram, that he would be a good person to also come along. So he went to Lokanath Goswami and presented the idea that Narottam also accompany and that Lokanath give permission. Now Lokanath, by this time he was over 100 years old. So we can imagine how much dependent he was on the service of Narottam. But recognizing the great importance of Jiva Goswami's idea to disseminate the knowledge of the six Goswamis, the knowledge of Lord Chaitanya's deep philosophy, he immediately, despite his own inconvenience, he gave permission for Narottam to go. So we know Narottam went. It must have been with a heavy heart that he left his guru. He fell at his lotus feet and begged and pleaded for his blessings, and "Please call me sometime to come to Braj and see you again." And Lokanath Goswami said, "No, this is the last darshan." But Lokanath Goswami knew now he's over 100 years old. How long, much longer he'll go? Before Narottam comes back, he will leave this world. So we can't imagine Narottam was weeping bitterly and bitterly, and looking back, he joined the party and they took the books to Bengal. So shortly after that time, on this eighth day of the dark half of the month of Shravan, Lokanath Goswami entered into the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we're deeply indebted for him. He laid all the groundwork. We're going around, especially myself, taking devotees to see all these holy places. So we have an immense debt. We can't even begin to imagine. Because it was Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha who did all the groundwork that later, just like you build the foundation, and then you build a big palace on top of that. So the foundation is most important, because otherwise the palace will just fall. So
the foundation for revival of Vrindavan, because Mahaprabhu, this was Mahaprabhu's 50% of Mahaprabhu's work, was that Vrindavan be revived for devotees to come and stay and do their bhajan and study the Goswami's books. So we're very deeply indebted to Lokanath Goswami, and millions and millions of dandavats we offer at his divine lotus feet. Sri Lokanath Goswami ki! Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Jigyasu Das. No, Jigyasu, or whatever. Lilakar. But also, that was just their deep humility that they didn't want name and fame. Even Krishna's Kaviraj, if somebody even mentions my name, all his piety will be gone. I can't say physical, but visible.
Right.
Yeah. Visible manifestation.
And then we can understand that there's the aprikrita.
Aprikrita, yeah. I have no idea, that's way beyond me. But as far as these things, our godbrother, what's his name? Who stayed with Ban Maharaj for a while, he arrived here. The sannyasi, he was Lalita Swami. Rishikeshananda, he asked Prabhupada about that. Prabhupada said, when you are ready, I will take you. We can't even understand, we're not this body, so how are we going to understand what is our eternal lila with Krishna's lila? First we have to understand that. That's why now we've got, after 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam has taken us, just to get to this 10th canto. Well, Lokanath Goswami did all the research, and other Rupa and Sanatan, etc., after him, did all the development. Started all the development. Just jungle and wild tigers and boars and weird, all kinds of things. Jungle and tribals.
How could they find this?
By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he empowered Lokanatha Goswami. They did lots of research. Still, there must have been some people who remembered some things. Because that's one of the marvelous things about Vedic Dharma, is that even after hundreds and hundreds of years of being tormented by the Muslims, still Vedic culture was not lost. Now just by a couple of hundred years of British culture, they've lost everything. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. We'll bow down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's given us this Srimad Bhagavatam. At least 14 chapters of it, he purported himself. Srila Prabhupada ki.